My dear brothers and respected elders, I might as well also explain the first part of this hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited from the transaction of pebbles. This was a transaction that used to be carried out in a pre-Islamic era, which is also known in the words of the hadith as mulamasa and munabaza. Mulamasa and munabaza is that in the pre-Islamic era, when a person used to go to the shop, if he would touch any particular item, the transaction would be concluded. Or if the shopkeeper has to throw any item to him and he happened to touch it, the transaction will be concluded, whether the person liked it or he didn't like it. Likewise, there used to be a container of pebbles. If a consumer would come, he would take a pebble and he would throw it at any particular item. And whatever item he touched on, the transaction will be concluded, whether the person liked it or he didn't like it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited from that. In today's times, that also can be expressed in different ways and different forms. Sometimes, out of certain shops, you have a toy machine that has toys of different values in it. The child takes a fiver and coin, puts it in there, and the toy machine will go and pick different toys from that thing. So that will also fall in the category of bay'ul gharar, bay'ul hasad, which is also prohibited in the Sharia. My dear brothers and respected elders, hearing all this, sometimes people think that the ulama have a very, very dogmatic approach. Anything that comes their way, they declare it to be haram and prohibited. Sometimes people say, we just hope that the ulama don't prohibit milk, or they don't prohibit bread. Everything that comes their way, they make it haram and they say it is prohibited. My dear brothers and respected elders, in every time and era in the Islamic history, ulama-i haqq always proclaimed the truth. Whatever was permissible, they proclaimed it to be permissible. What is permissible, to proclaim it to haram is this crime, is a crime. And but what is haram and prohibited, without favor, without fervor of anything, they would clearly proclaim that to be haram as well. This is the responsibility of the ulama. Can one imagine that if the ulama-i haqq, if they have to submit to the whims and the desires of the masses and the people, what would be left of the pristine purity of our deen? Today, the deen is preserved in its pristine form. It is because of the services of the ulama of the past. They have always proclaimed what is haqq and what is true. The ulama are regarded to be the custodians of the Sharia. And it is their responsibility to proclaim whatever is true and whatever is right. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, لَوْلَا يَنْهَاهُمُ الرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ عَنْ قَوْلِهِمُ الْإِثْمَ وَأَكْلِهِمُ السُّحْتِ. Why don't the pious people from the people of the Yahud and Nasara, and why don't the ulama from the Yahud and the Nasara, why they don't stop the masses from speaking lies and eating haram? It is mentioned in the books of hadith, the way the ulama from the Ahl-e Kitab, they used to first prohibit the people from the wrong. But when there was a flack that was coming from the people, then because of being confounded and want to play the good party, want to make yourself to be the best party among all, when that started happening, they stopped prohibiting the wrong. And then they started doing the wrong like the masses. When Allah's azab came, it didn't only come to the masses, it came to the ulama as well. My dear brothers and respected elders, it is the responsibility of the ulama to also understand the realities on the ground. When the king at the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam saw a dream that there are 7 weak cows that are eating and devouring 7 healthy cows, and 7 green corns and 7 dry corns, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam interpreted a dream. He didn't only say that there's going to be drought. He showed the alternative to that as well. He said that at the time of the drought, take the grains, preserve it. Or at the time of rain, take the grain, preserve it, so it will help you at the time of the drought. Likewise, my dear brothers and respected elders, we do understand the difficulty that the people have as far as medical aid and as far as medical service that is available to us in the country. It is retrogressing, and many people complain in different ways and different forms. It is our responsibility that we look for alternatives and create ease for the people, but within the principles, spirit and parameters of the Sharia. The public will never know the amount of effort my colleagues have put in the Darul Ifta. We have probably met up with almost every provincial medical aid company, national medical aid company, and presented to them our idea of providing an alternate to conventional medical aid. Nothing was successful. We also went to the extent to and made an application to the registrar of the medical aid and asked them to amend the law to facilitate for the Muslim public. Unfortunately, that was also struck down. But our gaze, our nazar was on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And with your people's du'as, the du'as of all our senior ulama and the du'as of the general masses, whoever met us, we told to them, make du'a, make du'a. And it is only the fazl and only the grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that we managed to come up with a viable alternative that is in principle, that is according to the principle of Sharia. There is a club, Crescent Lifestyle Club. It's a non-Muslim company. You would purchase an item from them, whatever the item may be, and you would pay a price for that. They would then value your clientele, and then they would make you a member of that company. That company would provide a host of services. Those services that will be given to you will be completely voluntary. It will not be in lieu of the item that you have purchased. They're completely separate and completely independent. If the company provides you that services, it is their good gesture, it will be completely voluntary. And if they do not provide you the service, then you do not have any legal claim against them, and it is left up to them to provide you that service. Yes, of course, they would value you, and in order for them to provide the service to you, they, on all possibility, they would continue providing the services, and they would keep up to the promise of valuing you as a valued client. My dear brothers and respected elders, for the past 2 years, we've been making effort on this, and this all started off by one person, Marhum Yunus Vanka, Rahmatullahi Alayh. He came to us numerous times, and different ideas were presented to us. We did not have the courage to proclaim conventional medical aid to be permissible because of the prohibited elements in it, interest, gambling, gharar, uncertainty in it. We told him, make an effort. And alhamdulillah, with the fadl and grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he initiated this whole thing, but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala took him away from this world before he could see this joyous day on which his efforts have borne fruit. We make dua, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put nur in his qabr, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give him jannatul firdaus. My dear brothers and respected elders, Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will help you. We need to go the extra mile. We shouldn't just cut corners when it comes to our muamalat and our business. What is according to Sharia, we should go that extra mile and do everything possible for us to comply with the rules and the principles of the Sharia. When we go that extra mile, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make it easy and asan for us. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّمْ سُبُلَنَا. That those people that make an effort, sacrifice in our path, we will open up many, many doors for them. Just recently, we have managed to create a very, very conservative investment product. So conservative and so unique that it's unique in different ways. Unique in terms of it being according to traditional values. One would never believe that what the fuqaha have mentioned 1,000 years ago, which is recorded in the books, we have presented this to a non-Muslim company. We told them that we want this investment product in this particular way. For them it was a challenge. But we felt we should go the extra mile. Let them do it and let us show the Muslim community that you go the extra mile, then you'll be able to get a very, very conservative investment product. They went, took two steps back, presented it to us. We said, we are not happy. They go back again, two more steps back. and they present it to us. Finally, alhamdulillah, they have come up with this product which is unique, unique in terms of its traditional values and unique in terms of its returns. Inshallah, the return will be completely permissible, and not only that, it will be handsome and it will also make your pockets also heavy. This is barakah from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Inshallah, when we are ready with that, within a month, inshallah, we will announce that, we will launch it, and we hope that when it hits the market, then it hit the market very, very fast, and not only nationally, it will also hit the markets internationally. We ask of you to make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, make this investment scheme a reality, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, make it a means for many people opening their eyes that when you apply the principle of Sharia, then you can be successful with the help and the nusrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We now move on with the second part of the, or rather the third part on the agenda, rental based on income. There are two ways of hiring in Sharia. One is you hire the services of an individual, or you either hire the services or you hire a property. Hiring the service of an individual, that is clearly mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives us the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam left Misr, he comes to Madian. And just out of Madian, he had no food to eat, he had no shelter. He makes dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, whatever help and assistance you send to me, I'm in need of that. Send for me shelter, send for me food, I'm in need of that. There were people of Madian that were drawing up water from the well. And there were two young girls that were just standing behind the people. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes up to them and offers them help and assistance to draw water from the well. The girls then go to the father who was the Nabi of that time, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. They told to the father, Inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyu al-ameen. That the best person that you can hire, the best person that you can hire is a person that is strong, physically strong, and the person who is very trustworthy and honest. If a person looking for an employee, then these are the two qualities one should look for. If you have an employee that is very, very strong, but he's not trustworthy, you will suffer. And if you have an employee that is very trustworthy, but he is not strong, then too you will suffer. These are the two qualities one would look for an employee. Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam then called for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam negotiated a deal with him. Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam told to him that inni uridu an unkihaka ihda ibnatiya hatain ala an ta'jurani thamaniya hijaj. That I want to get you married to one of my two daughters on condition that you work for me for 8 years. It is mentioned in one hadith, Utbah radiallahu ta'ala who says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Adara Musa samana sinina wa ashar ala iffati farjihi wa ta'ami batani. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam handed himself in hire to Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam for 8 years or for 10 years. On condition that he looks after his chastity, his private part, and for the food of his stomach. In this contract between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, everything of that contract was very clear, very specific. When a person enters into a contract, this is how it should be. Everything clear, everything specific, there shouldn't be any ambiguity that will lead to a confusion. Should there be any ambiguity that leads to a confusion and that may lead to a dispute, such a contract will be regarded to be null and to be void. Likewise, a person hires a property. In the property, the terms and conditions of that must also be very, very clear and very, very specific. Generally, when people hire a property, they take the rent is based on a flat amount. For example, 10,000 rand a month with an escalation fee of 10%, for example. Every year it will go up, for example, for 1,000 rand. For the first year, 10,000 rand. Second year, 11,000. Third year, 12,000. That is a general trend that takes place here. Recently, the Darul Ifta has been getting queries about rental based on income. For example, if a person happens to hire a property And the landlord then dealt cash to a tenant. Or sometimes it happens between franchisors and franchisees, they put a condition that whatever is your turnover, 10% of that will be the rental. For example, if the turnover is 100,000 rand, 10% of that 10,000 rand will be the rental. Or if the turnover is 200,000, 10% of that 20,000 rand, that will be the rental. The Darul Ifta have researched this matter, and we have found in the books of fiqh that in the past, people would hire the land to miners, to mine something from there. And they'll put a condition that whatever you have mined from their gold, a percentage of that would be given to you. So based on that analogy, the Darul Ifta have ruled that rental based on income is perfectly permissible and according to Sharia. The third point on the agenda is pension payout schemes. It is the responsibility of the government to take care of the elderly citizens, of the poor and the needy, the underprivileged and the impoverished. Alhamdulillah, we have noticed in the past few years, we have observed the national budget that is presented by Minister Trevor Manuel, and we have noticed that every year there is a steady increase in the pension payout. We make dua to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala help and assist our government and help and assist them in all other places of need and help and assistance. My dear brothers and respected elders, as Muslims living in a non-Muslim country, it is our responsibility to abide by the laws of the country that are not un-Islamic, or that are not un-Islamic. If there's any law that is un-Islamic, we have legal channels through which we could address our concerns. We should stay in this country as loyal citizens and do not break and violate the laws of this country. Every human being by nature is nationalistic. We love our country. We love the sky under which we live. We love the earth on which we walk. We enjoy the water of this land. We enjoy the fruits of this land. We also love our government. And it is our responsibility that we help and assist the government wherever there is a need for it to do so. My dear brothers and respected elders, Islam and assistance to humanity, it transcends religion. It transcends race, color and culture. Islam doesn't teach us to help and assist people only if the person is a Muslim. Whoever the person may be, Muslim or non-Muslim, we should help and we should assist each and every person. We make dua that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat to contribute to the poor, to the needy, to the impoverished. And in doing so, assisting the government in doing so, in that there is khair, goodness and afiat for other Muslims in South Africa. We help the government will help us to live as law-abiding citizens and as Sharia-compliant citizens in this country. We need to help the government for them to help and assist us. My dear brothers and respected elders, the government has hired a company to make the pension payouts. The company have inserted machines in different places, rural areas, urban areas. And the pensioner has a card, he goes and he inserts his card and he gets a slip. Then he goes to a shopkeeper in which the machine is, and the shopkeeper would then pay the pensioner his money. The company would then pay the shopkeeper a particular fee for providing this service. According to Sharia, a fee can be charged for expenses incurred or for a tangible service that is rendered to an individual. A mere payout from your till without expenses incurred or without providing a tangible service, that is not regarded to be a service, and the fee in lieu of that would not be permissible. If the shopkeeper incurred expenses, for example, he have to pay withdrawal fees to the bank when the company puts the money, and then you have to take the money out, you have to pay a withdrawal amount. Or, for example, he has inserted something regarding the infrastructure. He probably put that to telephone line or any other expenses incurred. In lieu of those expenses, he could charge the company a fee for that. Another issue, some shopkeepers, they confine the service only to their customers. In other words, that if a pensioner comes and uses that facility and he doesn't wish to purchase from the shop, he cannot use that facility. That means he imposes upon the pensioner that should you use this facility, you will have to purchase from the shop. First and foremost, this goes against compassion to our elderly citizens. They require our love, they require our compassion, they require our help and our assistance. And to impose on them that should you use the facility, you will have to buy. What if the pensioner got just less than 1,000 rand and he requires to purchase so many more things? And if you're going to impose upon him the money that he has or the left amount or left over money, that won't be sufficient for his needs and for his requirements. Yes, the alternative to that would be that the shopkeeper can provide an incentive. He could put a notice that if a pensioner happens to purchase from my shop, he uses the facility, then we will give him an incentive. For example, if we would buy the rice, we'll give him 10% discount. Buy the flour, 10% discount, purely for the pensioners. This could serve as an incentive. The pensioner would know that if he uses that facility, then he would be entitled to a discount from the shop. This would be the alternative. But impose upon the pensioner that if he uses the facility and then he will have to purchase from the shop, then that goes against the principle of Sharia. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naha an bay'in wa shartin. Nabi Kareem sallam prohibited from a bay, from a transaction in which you put a condition, one intertwined and interlinked to one another. So according to Sharia, this is not permissible. My dear brothers and respected elders, we have finished up with the first session of our talk, and inshallah we bring in now for a brief break, and we will then continue 15 minutes thereafter, inshallah.
Inshallah, now we will break up for a short break of 10 minutes, and inshallah, refreshments will be served to the rear of the masjid in the courtyard that is behind the scene. And inshallah, we can refresh ourselves. Also, we can avail ourselves of the opportunity while we are within this break. Those of us who have not yet filled in the registration, to fill the registration forms in Jazakumullah.